in addition to what we read this morning. Mark chapter 1. This morning, we did a phrase, really. I guess not a complete sentence. My Bible has a semicolon at the end of the first verse. We did that. Two lines in my Bible and a piece. Short verse, but packed with information, with messages for us. And tonight, a longer scripture with the Lord willing, we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to go through verse 35. And this is Mark says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's a narrative of a little bit of background, and then things that Jesus did. And as we read, and it's fairly lengthy, brethren, so let's read it like it's a narrative for now. And just what I want you to listen for are things that Jesus did that are recorded in this verse right here. Just kind of get a grasp, an overview of things that Jesus did. And we're going to stop, Lord willing, with verse 35. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, believe ye the gospel, and believe the gospel. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, inasmuch as they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirit, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, the King James Version, if I read it correctly. The title of the lesson, well, I'll tell you in a minute. Let's pray. Let's go to God. Ask him to open his word to us, that we'd understand it and he'd teach us by it. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Your written word. Thank you for the living word. The word that was made flesh and began to dwell among us and died for us to save us from our sins. Who's ascended now and seated at the right hand of the Father on high. Thank you that he makes intercession for us. Thank you, Father, for your good hand upon us. So far in this meeting, if we're not deceived, and Father, we come again hungry and faint and poor. Behold us, Lord, assembled at thy mercy's door, thy bounty to obtain. Father, help us. Would you send your bounty, your bountiful spirit to us to give me preaching grace and hearing grace and everyone here grace to hear the word of God, that we might grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Thank you for your good hand upon us. Thank you for this Bethel spot right here. Thank you for your church in the earth. Bless, please, tonight and in the future, your church here. And may it be as a city that's set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid, proclaiming, demonstrating the love of God, and proclaiming the word of God. Thank you for the love that the brethren have here for one another. Thank you for their labor toward this meeting, their labor in prayer, and the labor of their hands in preparing meals and hosting, and thank you for that, all of that. But Father, above all, we thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy to us, and we ask your blessing now. Father, get all honor and glory in this service tonight. We thank you for the privilege of singing the hymns to you, and they're beautiful, and we pray they glorify you, and they inspire and edify us. Help me now again, I pray, Lord, to preach your word. May we see Jesus as those who came and told the apostle we would see Jesus. May we see him tonight. Open our eyes. We beg in the name of Jesus, that name above every name. Amen. Title of the lesson, two words, he prayed. He prayed. Jesus prayed. You need to think about that. Jesus, the Son of God, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, prayed, brethren. That verse 35 says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. What I'd like us to do tonight is get in our minds here. Mark says this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He begins to narrate what Jesus did. And so let's look at that. Let's just look at the verses as we go through them, and I'll move along, God willing, and we'll cover most of them, and then get to mainly verse 35. But just for context purposes, I had asked you as we read through them, just think about all the things so far right here in the first chapter of Mark's gospel. All the things that Jesus has done. So background, there's a little bit. John says, I'm going to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so he starts, though, with that prophecy of his coming, that prophecy of John the Baptist. The prophet Isaiah in 40, verse 3, and the prophet Malachi in 3, verse 1, they prophesied about that one that would be the forerunner of Christ. And the other Gospels speak of it too. Mark talks about it. He says, He says, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he starts saying, well, there was this prophecy, and it was, behold, I send my messenger before thy face to prepare thy way before him, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We know that's John the Baptist. And so in Mark's giving us that history there, in that narrative account, verse 4, he says, John was baptizing in the wilderness, and he's preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And people came out of the land of Judea and Jerusalem, and they began to be baptized. This is right before Jesus comes on the scene with his public ministries, right before it. One Bible commentator said he thinks, we don't have to know this, but he thinks John's ministry might have lasted about 6 months. He said, I think that because John was about 6 months older than Jesus. I don't know, but anyway, some period of time, John's preaching, and people are coming, and they're confessing their sins, and they're being baptized. And he said, John, verse 6, he was clothed with a camel's hair and a leather girdle and ate locusts and wild honey. And I thought of this when I was reading it the other day. You know, John ate locusts and wild honey, stayed in the wilderness. Jesus traveled around in the cities, and the people criticized them both. So people are going to criticize. Unbelievers, self-righteous, they're going to criticize. So anyway, that's what he ate. And he preached, saying, and John said in verse 7, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I have baptized, and John would say, you know, at one time, he must increase, but I must decrease. I did indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So there is a little capsule thumbnail about John the Baptist. Now he goes on as he's beginning his gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he begins to tell us about Jesus. Verse 9, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. I want to ask you a question that's occurred to me a number of times, and I've looked it up, but I've forgotten what experts say, that's commentators. And they're men, and they're interpreting the Bible, and sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. We all have to pray that God will show us. But have you ever wondered why Jesus was baptized? Think about that. Why did I get baptized? Because I knew I was a sinner, and I knew Jesus had saved me, and I knew that his command was repent and be baptized. And frankly, the reason I joined the church, Arthur Devane, my distant cousin, was preaching a meeting at Bethel, and he scared me nearly to death. I think that he knew that I was convicted in my heart and that I needed to join the church. But I was scared to join the church, and I was scared not to. But we had a meeting at Bethel, and he preached, and the only thing I remember him saying was, mountains were going to burst forth, and it was scary. I don't know what else he said, but I joined the church. I was so scared. I was more scared not to at that point than I was to join. So I joined. But I was ready, brethren, but I certainly didn't have a lot of understanding of Scripture. But I knew this, that I was a great sinner, and that I had a great God that had saved me. And I knew that, and that's enough. So that's why I did, because I'm a sinner. Jesus was baptized, brethren. Why would Jesus be baptized? Let me read you just some sort of quotes. Not to take away sin, not to take away original sin or actual sin. That's that being born in sin and committing sin. That original sin is being born in sin, and actual sin is practicing sin, committing sin. It couldn't be that, right? It couldn't be. Because he was not born in sin, nor did he sin. So it can't be that. And this Bible commentator said, water baptism can't do that anyway. Right, Brother Lee? When Arthur baptized me in the little river, little Alapahaw in Jennings, at the Beatty Bridge, I surely did feel good coming up out of that water, and I was glad I did it. But it didn't wash away, in an eternal sense, any sins of mine. Water baptism can't do that. But brethren, we need it and we must do it. It's an ordinance and we're commanded to do it. So if you haven't, you need to do it. If you haven't yet. Jesus was baptized not to take away original sin or actual sin. Water baptism can't do that anyway. Here's the reasons that one Bible commentator says Jesus was baptized. Maybe you know them already. I forget them from time to time, but I always wonder about that. I go back and I study it. Here's one reason, brethren, to show the approval of John's baptism, that John the Baptist was sent of God, and he was authorized to do what he was doing. That's a good reason, and that I think that's exactly right. That heaven approved of baptism in general, and John's in particular. To demonstrate that he is the Son of God. How did that demonstrate that? Well, another of the gospel writers says he looked at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John identified him as the one sent. But also, brethren, what we read was, when Jesus was baptized, brethren, the heavens opened and the Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. There's a good token right there. That's a wonderful one, isn't it? And here's another one. There came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It was demonstrated. Why was Jesus baptized? One reason is so that there would be a demonstration that he was the Son of God. Here's another one. To set an example to his followers. To obey the law. To obey the command of God. Set an example. After the baptism of Jesus, brethren, immediately, look at that, verse 12. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. Have you ever noticed? I can tell you what's going to happen to me in the next few days. I've already been blessed of God to just feel the Spirit here, and I've had a wonderful time, and I pray you have in the Lord. When I get back home, when I finish this meeting on Sunday, God continues to bless me. When I get home on Monday, the flesh in me is going to want to just get so sorry. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Satan's going to tell me Monday morning, "Oh, you don't need to read today. You just came off this meeting. You've been studying hard. You don't need to do that." He's going to say that to me. He's going to say, "Go ahead and turn on the television. You owe it to yourself." That's what he's saying. I know it's going to happen. How do I know it? Because it happens all the time. After a close fellowship experience, test with God that you passed, Satan comes. The tempter comes like a singing tide. Jesus, brethren, immediately after his baptism, was taken of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Mark doesn't cover what the temptations were and how he resisted. Those are obviously wonderful, wonderful lessons. We won't try to cover them tonight, but study that. You know, Jesus quoted Scripture every time, didn't he? That's a thumbnail right there, a little teaser there. Every time Jesus quoted Scripture to him. And then, you know what? Satan started quoting it back to him. He doesn't give up, brother. He doesn't give up. He's wily. Verse 14, now after that, John was put in prison. This is, we're skipping ahead now in time. This narrative goes forward to John the Baptist being put in prison. We know he was beheaded. Jesus came into Galilee preaching. One of the first things he did after being tempted of Satan, he begins preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, believe the gospel." Now, he walks by the Sea of Galilee, and he begins calling apostles to him. Simon, Peter, and Andrew, they're fishers of fish, and he's going to make them fishers of men. And he says, "Come after me, I'll make you to become fishers of men." Straightway, verse 18, they forsook their nets, and they followed him. When he's gone a little further, he encountered James and John, Zebedee's sons. They were mending their nets. And he called them, verse 20, he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and they went after him, right there. In verse 21, now he's in Capernaum. And on the Sabbath day, brethren, he goes into the synagogue, and he starts teaching. Something else that he did, he starts teaching. And they were astonished at his doctrine, because he taught them like somebody that had authority. He understood those scriptures and he could make it alive to them. Had authority. And brethren, guess what? In the synagogue, there's a man with an unclean spirit. I can't quote it, but in the beginning of Job, it talks about the people came before to fear God, and Satan came right along with them. Came right along with them. He doesn't give up. He tries everything he can. He's not ashamed, brethren, to show up at church, at the church house, the church building. There was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cries out, "Leave us alone. We know who you are, Jesus. Leave us alone. You're the Holy One of God." I'll say it like this. They didn't believe on him, but brethren, they believed in him. They knew who he was, didn't they, Brother Lee? They recognized him. But they didn't believe on him. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet. Hold your peace. Come out of him." And this spirit shows out. It convulses the man and cries with a loud voice. I bet that was a scary sight. I don't want to see that. It's a scary sight. He came out of him. And they were all amazed, those in the synagogue. They said, "What thing is this?" Verse 27. "What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." You bet they obey him. And now the next thing that happens to him, brethren, he becomes famous. Verse 28. "Immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." I'm puzzled sometimes. Jesus will do a miracle work, and he'll tell the person, don't you tell this. Don't say anything about this. And most of them, they take off and they tell everybody they see. Jesus' fame. I think one reason is because he doesn't want them to throw him and make him king yet. It's time to enter in Jerusalem. The time's not yet come in that regard. "Immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galatia." And they come out of the synagogue, they go to Simon Peter's house, and Simon's wife's mother, verse 30, his mother-in-law, she's sick. She's got a bad fever. And they tell Jesus about it. He goes to her, he takes her by the hand, and he lifts her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto him. There's another healing, another miracle. And it even, when the sun was set, listen to this, brethren. That's the people in the town, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed of devils. All the city was gathered together at the door of the house where he was, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and he cast out many devils and suffered the devils not to speak because they knew it. Brethren, we're only 3/4 through with the first chapter. Look at all the things Jesus has done. Look at that. Look at that. Smart narrative of what he's done. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now I was reading this the other day, as I mentioned to you this morning, I think it was February 19th, I was reading along here, and I said, "Well, Lord, in the first verse right there, there's a sermon right there." These thoughts of the good news of the gospel began to flood my mind, and I was writing them down fast. And then when I finished that, I put that paper aside, and I continued reading. And brethren, when I got to verse 35, I read this. "And in the morning, after all that next day, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." And I said, "There's another one right there, Lord, isn't it? There's another one. There's another sermon right there." And I got another blank piece of paper, and I began to start writing down the things that God was telling me, the Lord willing, that he's showing me this. Listen, brethren, listen. Jesus, he did all that, and he went out and prayed. The need for prayer. If the Son of God needs prayer, needs to pray, brethren, do you think you need to pray? If the Son of God, who did all these things, what great power, do you think you need to pray? Now, do you think I need to pray? I surely do. I want to just rehearse them again just a minute. God says, "You're my Son. I'm pleased with you." Jesus needed to pray, even though God the Father said, you're doing my will and you're doing good and I'm pleased with you, Jesus said, I still need to pray. He starts preaching the gospel, it says right there. I think it's in verse 14. He starts preaching the gospel. I know I need to pray when it's my time to preach the gospel. I know that. I'm acutely aware of that. He starts teaching in the synagogue. Many of you get called on to teach from time to time, teaching school, teaching Bible study, teaching anything. Brother, sister, you need to pray. You know that, I got to say it. You need prayer. You need prayer for, you need direction from God. You need understanding. You need boldness and courage to preach what God puts on your heart. You need courage to preach the whole counsel of God, right, Brother Lee? Man, oh man, it's hard for me sometimes not to dodge some of it. It surely is. It's hard. Because maybe I know somebody in the congregation, I don't want to offend them. Or maybe it's me, and I just avoid that. Brethren, listen. We all need to hear the whole counsel of God. Every one of us. Every one of us. Don't dodge it. If God's pricking your heart and convicting you, it's simply because He loves you and you need to hear it. He met with difficulty. He was challenged by Satan in the wilderness. He needed to pray. He needed to pray for courage and wisdom on how to deal with Satan and power to resist. Verse 28, immediately his fame spread abroad. I'll tell you what, brothers. I've said this before, and I've read it before, but I've learned it painfully, that it says his fame spread abroad. Success is harder to deal with than failure. Did you know that? Did you know that? I hope you do. Else you'll have to learn it maybe the hard way. I don't know if I've told you this before, but I used to try cases a lot in court. I loved it. And I did with my jury trials like I do with preaching. I think, man, I don't want to do this. Why do I even have this job? Sunday night was the hardest. When I had a jury week starting on Monday, I would be on Sunday night, I'd be on the front row in church, and I'd be up there trying to sing and listen to the preacher, and all I'd be thinking about is, what jurors am I going to pick tomorrow? What's that case about? What have I got to do? What if I mess up? Why do I do that? But I did it. But God always blessed me. And here's the thing I want to try to tell you. If the case, I'm going to put this in quotes, if I won, I didn't win it, but if the result occurred that I wanted, then I want to tell you what, it was hard not to think you did everything right. It's hard to think that you're just a great lawyer. It's hard not to think that, brethren. Brethren, but I know better. I know better. Sometimes the juries, they just side with you because they feel sorry for you. Sometimes, I think. But brethren, the fame of Jesus spread abroad throughout all the region. And the man still got up before daylight and went out to pray. When God is blessing you in a great way, brethren, you need to pray. You need to pray. And I do too. And He is blessing us all in a great way, and we need to pray. Fame and success, harder to deal with than failure. We need humility. God, keep us humble, and we give the glory to God. He began to heal. We read many occasions. And the last one is, it says, they brought unto him all that were diseased, verse 32, and possessed of devils. The city was gathered together at the door. He healed many, and he cast out devils. That's a lot of healing, brethren, a lot of casting out there, recorded in 32 through 34. That's a lot of work there, brethren. When you've got a lot of work to do, a tough task ahead of you, you need to pray. I know you know this, but I've got to say it, and I'm saying it to myself too. Strength for the task at hand. Okay, now just a review to say it about us right here. When we feel the approval of God, when we feel the blessings of God, we need to pray, brethren. We need to pray prayers of thanksgiving. because I knew I was going to try to preach on prayer tonight, I was listening especially close to the prayers that were offered tonight. And we had prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of petition. There may be other kinds, I don't know, but those are certainly the two major kinds. Prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of petition. And when God is feeling, when we're feeling the approval and blessing of God, we need to pray prayers of thanksgiving. When we open His Word to study, brethren, we need to pray prayers of petition that we'll understand it. You know, I was telling you this morning about I'm reading through the Bible, and some mornings, you know what I do? I go out to my study. I call it the man cave. I go out there and I open my Bible and I just start reading without even asking God to open His Word to me. I do that. Sometimes, probably most of the time, it's because I want to get it over with because I got things to do. What a shame. What a shame. I had a friend years ago, godly man, and we were talking about wrestling with the making ourselves study the Word of God at a certain time every day, morning probably. And I said, you know, I was young. I had a job, good job, had a wife, had three little children, had lots to do. And I said to my friend, I said, you know, sometimes I'm just too busy to read the Word. And you know what he said? I'm too busy not to read the Word. You ever heard it like that? That's a good way to put it. He said, brother, I'm too busy not to read it. And pray. When Satan challenges us and tempts us, like he did Jesus, when he attacks us, when he attacks our family, our friends, our brothers and sisters in the church, when he's attacking, we need to pray, brethren. We need to pray for God's strength to resist his temptation, for his protection, for his direction. Strength to resist him. When we're successful, brethren, we need to pray. That's us. We need to remind ourselves that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, as Brother Lee quoted, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When we start laboring for God, when we have things to do, when we begin a project of a service, we need to pray for God's blessing on it. And brethren, you need, we need a solitary place to go to, away from the television, away from any distraction, away from others. Just need to be in a quiet place and pray. That's what Jesus did, verse 35. He departed into a solitary place. And we need a time. It helps me to have a specific time every day to pray. Of course, we're told to pray without ceasing, so I pray, and I hope you do, driving down the road, pray all over the place. But brethren, we need a place to go to where we can set out of our minds the things of the world and spend time alone with God in prayer. He rose up a great while before day. It's hard to get the flesh moving in the morning time, isn't it? And that bed surely does feel good. I do hate to get up in the morning time. But brethren, Jesus did that because he saw the need for it. He knew that he needed it. The Son of God, brethren, did that. Don't you think you and I need to do it? Rising up a great while before day, he went out. He went out of the house. He went out away from everyone else. And he departed into a solitary place. And he prayed. The act of prayer, this is my thought. I didn't read this out of a book. It's just my thought. The act of prayer, when we pray, brethren, we're recognizing of necessity, if we're praying to God, we're recognizing that God is. In the beginning was the Word. If we're talking to somebody, brethren, we're saying He's there. We're recognizing that God is and that He hears our prayers. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. Sweet hour of prayer is one of my favorite hymns. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. You make them known to God. He knows them already. But we're to make them known to Him. We're to pray to Him. We recognize that God is and He hears our prayers. And that God has the power to grant the relief, to grant the petition. Else we wouldn't be praying to Him. Why would we if we didn't believe that? That's prayers of petition. We tonight, we pray for God to bless certain ones that are ill and need. We ask for their recovery. We ask for God's blessing on them. We ask for God to comfort those who've lost loved ones. And then there are those prayers of thanksgiving. We thank God that He's gracious to us. Because that every good gift comes down from Him. Jesus prayed. He prayed. You can read some of His prayers. And He gave us the model prayer too, which is too long a sermon for me to get into tonight. But He gives us an example, a model prayer, which is a wonderful lesson too, breaking it down and analyzing it. But brother, Jesus prayed prayers of thanksgiving. You can read them in the Bible. I thank Thee, O Father. He thanks God. Before he broke the bread and divided the fishes among the multitude, he looked up to heaven. He gave thanks for it. And He also prayed prayers of petition. Jesus did. Prayers of thanksgiving and petition. One of the last ones He prayed, if not the last one, was, O Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He prayed. But He ended it with, nevertheless, not as I will, but Thou wilt. And that's how we need to pray, too. And when I have the grace to say that right at the end, when I have just poured my heart out to God and told Him all the things I want and need, when I have the grace to say, nevertheless, Lord, You're the boss, You're the man, You're in control, not my will, but Yours, I can stand up and I can feel good, and I do feel good. So relieved and so strengthened and so empowered by God, by His Spirit. Now, in closing, I just want to say one or two little things, and that is, I don't spend enough time in prayer. I don't know about you. I don't. I've heard surveys results on how much time professing Christians spend in prayer. It's a pitifully small amount, and I'm right in there with them too. I hear that number. I don't know how many minutes it is each day, but I think, well, I pray more than that. Surely I do. And then I review the prayers, and I think about what I said, and I said, that probably didn't take but about 30 seconds this morning. And then I'm on my way. Brother, that's not good. I hope you pray more than that. Hope I'll pray more than that. Hope I'll pray more, and I hope I'll pray more often. Because the Word of God says, pray without ceasing. I hope, brethren, that God, by His Spirit, has shown us tonight the need for prayer, and that Christ prayed, and we certainly need to pray, and the occasions that He prayed, and the fact that He was all-powerful in all the things that He did, yet He got up before daylight, and He went out by Himself, and He began to pray. I hope, brethren, that I will press upon you and me that we need to do the same. We need to do the same. Oh, Father in heaven, thank You for prayer. Thank You for prayer. Thank You for being there and being our great God, our Heavenly Father. Thank You for that. Thank You for the good gifts that You rain down upon us. Thank You that we have the sweet privilege to go to You in prayer. Help us, we petition You now, help us not to neglect it. Help us to pray without ceasing. Help us to be thankful like we ought to be. And as we lift our petitions to You, Lord, asking for things, give us the grace to end by saying, nevertheless, not as we will, but as You will. Because, Lord, You are all-knowing, and You know what we need and what's best for us. And may we be submissive to Your holy will in all things. I beg Your blessing upon the effort here at preaching Your Word. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God has been our teacher tonight, and that the message we've heard, the exhortation we've heard, will go with us, will penetrate our hearts, and we'll take it with us, and we'll be better because of it, and that You'll get more glory and honor because of it. We thank You for the sweet privilege to be in Your house. We ask Your continued blessing on us, and we praise You for it, for what we've felt here in this place.
get glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Lee.